Hello, Pepper. Hi, Dan. Hi, Jen.
Why do I see?
Hi. And hello, everyone else that's on.
I know. Hi, everybody.
Yes,
First
thank
and
you.
foremost, this is so exciting that we're doing this right now, but I have to tell you, if you are here and you are a friend or you want to push this out, please tap the screen. We don't need the gifts. You don't need to spend any money on us, but if you tap the screen, that lets people know that we're here doing this, and then other Run Talkers will be like, oh, hey, it's time. So if you get a second just to be like click, click, click and give us hearts, we'll appreciate that. I know that's, you guys are like, what is she saying? I'm an expert at this whole live thing.
I can
You are.
tell. You look very
Okay.
nice. You look like professional.
We love him, but
I had to put makeup on because I had to go get a picture taken today because I don't even know if I've told you guys, but I am doing like a really big presentation at a women's meeting in March. Have I even told you guys this yet?
No.
I knew
Okay,
about
so
it, but tell
yeah,
everyone
like
else.
be on the Today Show.
it's not quite as big as that, but it's a pretty big
Okay.
deal to me because I get to go and like tell like my story, and I've created this presentation, and like it's just this whole big
Oh, that's
thing.
cool.
And yeah, so I went today, and I like actually tried to make myself look decent because I mean, after the morning that I had, it was like inevitable. I needed to redeem myself in some way, shape, or form. So a little makeup on my face.
Yeah, for
Makeup
sure.
or not, you always look beautiful.
Oh, you're so nice. That's, I wish I could say I felt that, but that is so sweet.
It's
Same,
true.
right
I
back
get
at you.
that,
Back at
but
you,
we're
back at
always
you.
our own toughest critics.
Okay, so obviously we want to get into some stuff. We've got Dan here, and I don't know if anybody in the chat, I mean, pretty much everyone in the chat probably knows Dan more than Lauren or I combined because we always talk about Dan. We're
Right.
always talking about the things that Dan tells us, says to us, and teaches us,
Right.
whether we like it or not. So also, if Dan's open to it, any questions that you guys might have about running or his journey, but Dan, tell us a little bit about you and how long you've been a runner and what it is that keeps you doing this sport.
That's a long story. I'll try to make it brief, but and if you know, interrupt me if you want, but really, I climbed my first big 14er when I was 14 years old. And I know that you asked about running, but so I climbed mountains to kind of restore my self-esteem after I was bullied pretty extensively in junior high school. And that was something that made me feel good about myself. And so every year we'd go back to Estes Park from Kansas, and I started really getting into it and climbing mountains with my dad. And that happened for 20 years. I wound up climbing all the 14ers, which is there's 54 14,000
Wait,
foot
yeah,
mountains
yes,
in
I was just gonna
Colorado.
say, Google
Yep.
what that is.
Yeah. And that's kind of a big deal here. It's sort of a cult. Lauren got to experience that this summer. And so when my kids were born, I needed to do something a little safer, you know, because mountain climbing is dangerous. There were probably two or three times I honestly should have been killed, and I wasn't. I was lucky. And so I started running to try to maintain that self-esteem boost and feel good about myself and do something competitive, all those things. And it worked for 10 years. And then I just got really tired of chasing times because I felt like a lot of these times, you know, you'd run these hard half marathons or 5Ks. All you out there probably know what that feels like to be just in the throes of the furnace where you're just feeling like I don't know if you're necessarily having fun while you do this. It's more about the competition and trying to beat a PR and all that. And I remember saying to my friends, hey, wouldn't it be great if we could just run a race and not look at your watch all the time and feel like that you're just constantly trying to chase after these PRs all the time?
Is this friends that you talk to right now, or are these friends that you like don't talk to, and these are another group of
No,
friends that
I actually I
you
so I still one of the things that's helped me is that I run with a group and I still run with them. I've been running with this, you know, it's a female and a world champion triathlete, and well, He's kind of a, he's ranked like fifth in the world. He's 75 years old, but he's ranked like fifth in the world, and he's incredible. And so that's one thing that's really helped me. But and I, we used to talk about that all the time and say, wouldn't it be nice if we were just able to run a race? And so I got really burned out on chasing times, and the distance of 50 milers seemed like a really perfect thing to do, because it was going to be a huge challenge, but it wasn't something that I knew I could run fast, that I had to focus on just finishing. And that sounded like heaven to me. And then when I learned that these ultra marathons go through the mountains, it was like combining my two favorite loves. And so I've done that ever since. And the thing that honestly keeps me going is, you know, number one, people like you guys and Run Talk. That inspires me to keep up my good work. But there's just so much to see and experience and do out there. And quite honestly, I need it. I need it for my anxiety, and I need it just to feel good about myself and to overcome all that bullying that I experienced 40 years ago.
Hey, Dan, I don't want to interrupt, but there's a good question. Do you want to take a stab at it? There's a question about starting running, particularly on a walking pad, tips on speed and time.
So the only advice I have to start running is just start running and run slower than you think you'll need to. Walk breaks are fine. But I think the one mistake that everybody makes, and you guys could probably relate to this, is that people try to run and they're miserable because they just start running hard and they're out of breath all the time. And that's really what you shouldn't be doing when you're running. You should just try to start running and maybe run for 5 minutes and then walk, or 3 minutes and then walk, slow down, get your heart rate back to normal, get your breathing back, and then start running again. And eventually you'll be able to stretch that out and you'll start to enjoy it. But it does take, I would say, 6 weeks before you might really start to enjoy it, or before you're getting to the point where you can start running and you don't have to stop every minute or two to kind of catch your breath. You know, you can just kind of keep going and enjoy the flow.
Yeah, it always seems that that is one of the biggest questions I get on a lot of my content is, how fast are you going and how long did it take you, you know, when it comes to like a mile? And I never answer that question simply because
right.
I'm never going to be, everybody in this group right now collectively and in our friend group and everybody know that I will tell you I'm never going to be a fast runner. Like it's so funny. This is reminding me of when I ran the marathon, and we were at a restaurant the night before and we saw this like bigger, tall guy. And he said, yeah, I'm running the marathon tomorrow. And my sister immediately was like, oh, you'll beat him. You'll beat him. And I was yeah. like, why would you say that? What makes you say that? Knowing already that like your size and your ability have absolutely nothing to do with how fast you can run. And I will tell you that I did end up beating this guy, but not by much. Like I saw him at the finish line. Like I saw him at the end and he was like, hey, I saw you at the restaurant. I was like, yep. Like, that, you know, there was, so that's such a misconception people have. And I also think it's crazy to try to compare yourself to someone else who like, you all know that I'm the newbie runner in our group. And like, I just, you know, I would say realistically for the last 2 years, I could call myself a runner. But prior to that, like I walked a whole lot before I ran. And like, I progressively got to this spot. I didn't just start running and being like, oh, yep, I'm going to full-fledged run a 10-minute mile today. I mean, even you guys know now, like I'm super pumped when I can say my fastest mile is 9:21 because it's taken me this long to get to that. Where the first person I talked to, my trainer, my personal trainer, he told me today, he's like, hey, I ran 2 miles under 20 minutes today. He's like, I'm going to get better at that. But all I could say is, like, you're already better than I am and you're just now starting it. So right. Never compare. I mean, we've talked about that a lot. Like,
yep.
Big thing for you to say.
And speed is relative anyway. I mean, there's going to be times in your life where you may be faster or slower for various reasons, but at the end of the day, what's fast for you could be very slow for someone else. And likewise, what's slow for you could still be way faster than somebody mm-hmm. else. And I agree. The comparison piece is you can't compare yourself to others. Focus on yourself.
One of the, when I actually kind of got the idea to start doing ultra marathons because of that book I put together with Katra Corbett, I was out interviewing her for the original article that I did before that led to the book. And when I went to the ultra marathon, I thought that all these people had to be complete badasses, right? And just like these hard bodies. And most of the runners were what I would call non-running body types, if you want to get into that. I don't mean it that way, but they weren't what I expected, right? Because you're talking about people who run 100 miles. And so I'm thinking, oh, they've all got to be, look like Mr. Olympus. And none of them look that way. In fact, many of them, I would say that you could call them overweight if you wanted to. And that inspired me. You know, that I thought, you don't need to have the hardcore runner's body that you see on the Olympics to do these amazing distances. All you need to do is just have two legs. So,
yeah. Hey, just so you know, Ashley said, I love that book.
Oh yeah. She's sweet. I appreciate that.
I also love that book.
Sweet. We'll have to have Ashley on sometime if she's willing to be on.
That book within the first like few minutes and I'm like, oh my gosh, like the visualization in my head of like what she was going through, and I'm just like, what is this?
Dan, do you want to share the title of your book and just a little bit about it for those that aren't familiar?
Yeah, I actually was gonna grab it, but then I, you know.
Yeah, that's fine. Here it is.
Mine is currently loaned to a friend, so I cannot get my copy.
I have it. So this came about. I wrote for a sort of an ESPN-like website called SB Nation. I don't know if anybody's ever they're probably, you know, two tiers below ESPN. But I wrote features for them, and I wrote about addiction in the ultramarathon world and how a lot of these really great ultra runners are former addicts. And so I interviewed Katra because she was a really good example of that. She was a former meth addict and had run 100 milers ever since then. And the book, the article did really well. And I think it did well because she's this crazy woman. She has pink and hair and, you know, piercings everywhere. But I also think it did well because she has this little tiny dachshund that ran a 50K with her that day. It's these tiny little legs, you know, that was running around the track with her the whole time. And so there were a lot of dog people who couldn't care less about ultramarathons, wanted to hear about this little dog that could run a long way. And so we have a couple chapters in the book about Truman was his name. He's died. But and I wrote the book by Katra sending me, you know, clips of her life while she was out running. And so I wrote the book based on that.
That is so awesome to have it be in that way, too. I mean, and literally the visuals, I mean, right off the bat, it was kind of like, oh, my gosh. And then, you know, like, I'm obviously not experienced with the ultra marathon world. I'm not sure that's ever going to be something that I have experienced, regardless of how much you all try to talk me into it. I'm not, I mean, with the exception of Relay Iowa, I mean, I can't, like, that's not ultra to me because I'm not doing it all in one shot. But, like, I can see the correlation between running and addiction, because I think, you know, once you start realizing that it gives you a feeling of like, I don't know how to explain it. It's like, it's something that no one can take away from you. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I think it ends up being like just as addictive as the feeling of what, which I don't know, because I've never had an addiction to drugs. I have family members who have, and that part of it is like, there seems to be something that they latch onto that ends up being really good for them that does fuel that addiction habit, you know, if that makes sense, I guess.
I think I know what that is. I want to say first, Chelsea, she says, person in recovery, avid CrossFitter and runner. I know many runners who were previously addicted, and I think it is an interesting storyline. And I have a theory behind that. So when I was doing a lot of radio interviews and, people were just talking to me about the book, they said, "Oh, so they just trade one addiction for another." And I think you could make a case for that, but what I really think, and this is congruent to the Run Talk community, is that I think they trade one community for another. Did you know that the hardest thing about being an addict is really not giving up the drugs so much as you have to give up your life? And I talk about that in the book. You have to give up all your friends, sometimes your family,
Yeah.
and you have to give up your complete. You have to form a new lifestyle. And Katra talks in the book about the severe depression that she underwent because of that. And so many people just say, fuck it, right? Like, I can't do it. They try and they can't do it. Think of how hard it would be to give up your life. And so Katra found a running group. She ran a 10K. And when she started going back to these races every week, she would see the same people and they became her friends. And so I think the best people who are able to overcome their addiction and move on to running is that they find a new community, something that makes them feel good, and they make new friends. And so it gives them some place to go.
I have to piggyback off of that too, because I've noticed that in my own life, with the fact
Yeah, right, Jen. I bet that's true in a lot of ways.
I do, like, until I found our little group of people and like-minded people and realized that it was okay for me to, I had to really become my own best friend. And now I know that, with the exception of my family, my core family that, that lives with me, like anybody else, I've learned who I can and cannot waste my time on, because it's just I'm not willing to go back to a lifestyle that doesn't serve any purpose for me. And it's like this fulfills me in a different way, and then the people that I have around me because of it makes a huge difference. That makes perfect sense. It really does. That's so good.
There was another good question. And other important advice for a newbie, never ran before. I'm gonna start off by saying I would recommend going to a shoe store, like a running store, to get properly fitted for shoes. If they have a treadmill or other like foot scanner op like as an option, definitely utilize that to make sure if you need like a high arch shoe or something, make sure you're taking that into account, because if you start off with a bad pair of shoes that aren't right for your feet, you're really going to have a tough time. So that would be my main tip. Dan, what would you say, or and Jen?
What do you think, Jen, when you started out, what was something that really
I
helped
mean,
you?
as far as the gear, I think the shoes are the most important thing, like Lauren had
I
said.
agree.
And also, I guess, it all depends on where you're gonna be and what you're gonna be doing. Because for me, like starting out, I didn't want to run outside because I didn't want anyone to see me. And that was me, because I was an overweight runner trying to learn how to do something that I wasn't comfortable with. So mine was to get a treadmill that actually held my weight, for one. And then the other part of it was just not to give up on it, even though it's difficult, because you are gonna feel uncomfortable. Like, it's not meant to be a comfortable thing. You're meant to push through it. Even, Dan, who's been running forever, and Lauren, who, runs fast miles all the time, long distances, like, it's still not always comfortable. Like,
No.
there's many
No.
times where you're just like, oh my gosh. I think that's a love hate that you're always gonna have with running.
I think there's a moment in almost every run where you're like, this kind of sucks. And that's okay. That's part of the deal, because I think the good moments eventually outweigh a lot of the bad moments. But you have to fight to get there first. Sarah's on here. Hi, Sarah. We love you. Sarah Whitman said, don't be intimidated by going to a running store. So I do think there is a lot of intimidation in finding that community, right? Like, you don't want to go to a running group because you think you're going to get left in the dust. And sadly, sometimes you do. But I have found, for the most part, that the running community as a whole is very supportive when you do want to try it. Right, because I think they remember being there. I think everybody remembers struggling those first few weeks and thinking, I'm not going to be able to do this. And I especially find that true in the ultra running world, where there are so many people who want to help you even during the race. You know, if you're ever struggling during a race and people can sense that, they will try to do everything they can do to get you to the finish line and help you.
I will add to that, though, that I think that that sense of, especially in a smaller race, maybe not like a world major where the fans can't really, and spectators can't really get on the course, but even in a smaller race, like a 10K half marathon, if you're struggling or even if you're not, the crowd support, even in a small race, is usually pretty amazing.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. So it's like, whether you're dealing with spectators or other runners, there's going to be somebody there cheering for you. And like, they genuinely mean it.
Mm-hmm.
It's real. I think that's one of the reasons why I like racing, is because you see like the best in people come out, and it's really inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
Time and time again, that feeling never gets old.
No, it never gets old for even seasoned runners like us. I don't, you know, cause you always have to overcome something.
Even the best race, like for whatever reason, there's always going to be things that are a little challenging.
Right. There's always a mile where you're like, I don't feel good. What's going on? And being able to really, in an ultra, there's like 20 miles like that. So,
or in some marathons too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure.
At least in my experience.
Oh, yeah. Well, me too.
I mean, I've done one, and yes, there were definite moments of like, obviously, definite moments of
Ashley says at the local YMCA, had a great 5K race prep group last summer. Great coaches and running. So these groups exist in a lot of different places. At your running store, you might not be able to find information at a library, at your gym if you have a gym.
You could probably even post on the Facebook and find a group. I mean, honestly. Yeah. I know my friend Sarah, she's kind of started her own little group of people who are just wanting to learn how, and she's kind of taken them out and been like, hey, come with me. Like, she has no limits on like how fast she goes. She'll run with whoever. And, you know, I've gone with them a couple times, like caught up with them for a few miles. We don't have a lot of like groups here in town, but I like to be by myself most of the time. That's just me personally. I mean, I like to be able to plug in music and like do my own thing and not have to like, I feel like when I run with people, I feel the urge to talk, you know, and I have to keep the space going. And when you're running, it's harder to talk that much.
Right. I agree with you. I like to run by myself most of the time because I'm with Pepper, and that's a really good bonding time for us.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Let's see. Mary Grace says there's a group for women called Women Run This Town. They are all over the country. That's good advice.
I hadn't heard that before.
I had heard of Women Run This Town, but I didn't know they were all over the country.
That's me neither. Cool.
Jamie actually runs with Sarah, so that's awesome. And actually, Jamie and I, Jamie's not too far away from where I live, and we've caught up. I think it was a 5K this last summer, wasn't it? And we both, and I was like, oh. So it was kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And Sal, Doug says he should run someday. Okay, Doug.
Yeah.
Jeff says, I think his fiance is doing Couch to 5K. It's working for her. So that's a program you could do too.
Yeah, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny because I don't know what it was that this time around running stuck for me, because I had tried a couple of different times to be like, I'm gonna do a 5K. And like, I tried the Couch to 5K thing and I never followed through. Like, obviously I followed through this time, like all the plans, and now I just need to be able to follow through moving forward.
You will.
I'm kind of in a rut right now. Like, I'm just not going like the distance that I want to be going. And that's kind of frustrating to me.
Well, winter in the Midwest can be a little bit emotionally draining, at least for everyone except me.
I know, but you know, I have no excuse. I mean, except for the fact that I was sick for the last couple of days, but I have no excuse considering I have a treadmill in my basement. Which Dan thought I was trolling him today but no, listen, that was literally the run of this morning. So lucky you.
Okay. Do you guys want to talk about the treadmill and why I hate it?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Let's do it.
I mean, I like to be a contrarian, so I do like to just joke about it whenever somebody, you know, talks about running on the treadmill and how much I hate it. But I do think there are two things that you're missing out on when you run on the treadmill. And one is, I've written about this many times, that studies have shown that being outside is really important to your mental health. And if you're not outside, you suffer as a result of that. And so I am simplifying that, but so there's even the health department here has a program called vitamin K or vitamin S or something, you know, something like that, about talking about the outdoors. And their whole idea is just, even if you just sit outside for 5 minutes, you're going to get the mental health benefits of being out in the sun and being outside. And so that's part of it. Unplugging and being out in nature is really important. And the other thing that I think running outside does for you, especially in the winter, Lauren, is it builds mental toughness. And I've talked about that all the time, where there are things outside that you have to face, like the weather and the cold and the wind and dogs running at you and, you know, little running on the trail and trying to dodge rocks and cars. And there's all these other things that I think really build the kind of mental toughness and mindset that you need for a good race.
I would argue though, Dan, as someone who despises the treadmill with like every ounce of my being, I would argue that even negative 30 on snowy and icy conditions is still mentally easier than running on the treadmill. So I think the most mental toughness for me personally is made on the treadmill. Now, I still do not seek it out, but I do think that I wholeheartedly agree about the benefits of outdoors, but I will always think that mentally running on the treadmill is more challenging.
It is for me too. And that's partly why I always say I hate it. But I think, I think what that does is it builds mental toughness against boredom and not the elements and the things that are really help you in a race. That's true. So
that is true. So I have so much, I've said this in videos many times, but I have an insane amount of respect for people that do the vast majority of their training on treadmills. Like, that to me is next level. And I truly believe
run
that.
If they run double digits on a treadmill, like in their garage where they're just staring at the garage door, I don't know how they do that. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, because I'm a big treadmill wimp, and the Peloton for me, that, like, you know, say what you will about that, when I have an instructor saying to me, okay, we're going to do intervals, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and like talking to me, like I'm not, like, yes, you know that I'm sitting there talking to a screen of a person that honestly is not responding back to me. But that for me has been a huge connection. I mean, and like just sharing about that and having that part of it being a mental health, like a release for my mental health, because, you know, and I know that everybody doesn't have that luxury. Like, that's a pretty big deal to have, like, an actual programmed treadmill that's going to give me the classes that mm-hmm. I, you know. Mm-hmm. But on Sundays, Kirsten does classes called Intention Setting Sundays, and she sets an intention and then says affirmations based on that. And, like, just the way she presents it is so real that it's so hard for me not to, like, really let all that soak in. And, like, I've gotten a lot mentally from that. At the end of the day, like, I'm not super, I broke both of my legs when I was in high school. Like, well, one was eighth grade, one was ninth grade. They were like right after the other. And I get really nervous to be out on the ice, like slipping and falling. Like, I don't want to injure myself. And so that's part of why in the wintertime, if it's icy, I'm not going to probably opt for outdoors. But right now it's prime time. And I do, like, I use the treadmill to be able to help me, like, endure more outside, I guess, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, that's been really why. And it was a savior for me in order to do this in the first place, because there's no way in hell I would have gone out and ran when I was 270 pounds. Not out in front of people, not where people could, like, see it. You know, that was just something that I was insecure about at the time.
Yeah. At the end of the day, if people are running, they're running. Good for them, right?
Yeah, you say that, and Lauren says that, and anybody else that's in this community would say that. But, you know, there's really shitty people that are going to make you feel bad. Right. And I just didn't want that happening.
Right. I'm just saying if you do get those miles on the treadmill, ultimately I'm going to cheer for you. You know,
well, there's that too. So you're being supportive here.
I'm being supportive for once. Isn't it nice to hear?
One of the questions that we had last week was, what's the best running advice someone has given to you?
Oh, that's right. You guys talked about me.
We did.
Yeah. You had two people feature your advice.
And I both of you had given advice that you had given to us.
So you need to come up with something original.
That's a good one, guys. I think the two things that have really helped me that people have mentioned in the past is, number one, you're racing yourself, so you're not racing others. So don't compare your times to anybody who might be thinner than you or younger than you. I really think setting your own personal goals as opposed to just trying to beat somebody is really important. So I think find your own journey on this. That's really, really important. So if you're in an ultra running community and everybody else is running 100 miles and you can't do it, that's fine. If you're wanting to run a 23-minute 5K and you're just really struggling with it because your friends are doing it, then that's okay. Like Doug says, most are thinner than me. And I think Doug's a great runner, and I've seen him. Right. And I don't think Doug compares himself to other people. So, I mean, that's really important. I do think it's important to find some sort of community and run with people who will be waiting for you on that Saturday morning when you don't want to go out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do too. Cause sometimes that's the driving force between saying, hey, I'm going to do it. And hey, I'm not going to, like, right. I don't have anybody that's relying on me to be there. So why do I need to get up and go? Which is probably what takes me. A Saturday morning run takes me till 2 o'clock to complete.
Yeah.
Hey, whatever time it takes.
Absolutely. Right.
Let's talk about your guys' upcoming runs. Like, I still haven't signed up for anything.
Same.
Nothing?
I mean, I'm signed up for Relay Iowa and things, but nothing in the spring. So, and I'm signed up for Chicago, but.
There's Pepper.
Dan and I have had conflicting opinions on what I should do. So,
Lauren, we don't need to get into that. You want to do? I mean,
I don't. I know what I don't know what I want to do. I know I have a little time to decide. I'm still training as if I'm doing. The training I'm doing is not going to hurt me for whatever I decide. It's all helpful.
And that's going really well for you right now.
I feel good. I'm still iron deficient, but. I don't feel like death every time I run like I did last December.
You seem to be really strong again.
Ashley said that Pepper's the real reason she's here.
Aww. Hey, Pepper. That's okay. Oh, Sam, your race is in 2 weeks. That's right.
Oh my gosh, Sam, that's wild and crazy.
And Mary Grace, find me a spring race and I will get out there. 50 miles or more, preferably.
Weld your Melta. Wait, can I say this? Weld your metal ultra.
Yeah.
Wait, you get to weld your own metal?
No, it's because I live in Weld County.
Okay.
Ooh,
and so that actually I think this person's must be from my area.
Nice play on words.
Yeah, the Weld Your Metal is a backyard race like what Sam is doing.
Yeah, can we talk about what that means? Because remember what I said? I was like, so you guys just go to somebody's backyard and run around?
Severance. He's from, okay, yeah, he's from Severance, which is near Windsor, which is about 20 minutes from where I live. A backyard race. I just wrote a story on this for Run Outside online. The Outside magazine has a running website, and so I'm writing for them now. And the backyard race is where you run 4.1 miles every hour, and at the end of that hour you line up and run it again, and it's the last person standing. This format is so popular that they now have more than 600 races across the country.
Wow, there's already 600.
So if you think about that, how many?
That's insane.
I think that's more than half Ironmans. Then I mean, that's as many races as I've ever heard of in a specific format. It's that crazy.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so where did the 4.1 come from?
I can answer that.
Yeah, do it.
So there's 24 hours in a day. If you run 4.1 times 24, that'll get you 100 miles in 24 hours. That's why they picked that distance.
Okay, impressive. I like it. So, yeah. So you're, I mean, but what if you go over that?
Then you, they have, people have, and then you just keep going.
Yeah.
What is the record, Dan?
It's,
do you remember how many hours? Is it like 36 or something?
No, it's something like 4 days.
Oh my gosh.
Four days. So I interviewed this guy for the story, but his name is Harvey Lewis, and he ran something like 470 miles. I know. He can sleep, like he'll stop and sleep for like 4 minutes and then wake up and do the it's yeah. People
look
are
at,
really
look at Kelby's like, what? What?
I know.
Yeah, Kelby ran 300 miles in a month.
New goals unlocked, Kelby.
Yeah, Kelby, you're next.
Oh, you say that, and he actually will. Kelby is unstoppable.
I hope he tries it. I really do. I would love to hear about the amazing hallucinations he has. Courtney Dahlwater got her start at one, right? Says Lenz. She kind of had a breakthrough race when she finished second to Harvey 1 year and ran like 275 miles. People kind of figured out that she was pretty strong, and then she won it the next year. So yeah, I don't know. So every time that I think I'm pretty cool, you know, there's always people there to humble me. And that's honestly one thing that I do like about running.
Well, that's life. I mean, there's
Course,
somebody
right?
either always has it better or someone either has it worse.
Right.
Like that's just
right.
There's never going to be any. So we got to quit trying to be perfect at the thing.
Right. Pepper is the best dog, so she doesn't have anything to humble her. But
Stick says he has next Monday off, so he can run for 3 days.
Yeah, okay, that's cool. Sure. Yeah, do it. Right.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
We win.
Dan, can you tell us what race races you're most excited about for this year?
Well, I'm doing a 100-miler in April, and then we're going to do the 100-miler that was canceled by the hurricane. And those two races I'm excited about because I have never run 100 miles. I've come close a couple times, but that's kind of the one goal in the running world that I just haven't been able to do yet. And I think I'll be able to do it because I'll have a couple friends with me this time, the whole time, like Lynn's. I think she'll keep me awake. That was my only problem last time. I ran 70 miles in that Iowa race, and my main problem was I couldn't stay awake.
Well, even though some of us will not be there physically with you, if you have your phone and you're up for a chat, right. You've got people on standby who will bark at you over the phone to stay awake.
It has to be before 8:30 a.m. PM.
Not me. Anytime.
All right. Well, I'm going to myself. Bed now. Try to stay awake. Thanks. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, sorry. I mean, I can't help. I'm sleeping. Good night.
Right. Ryan Reynolds
says, an ultra doula. I love that, Jess.
Yeah, so Ryan Reynolds says, I thought Dan was going to talk about the Taco Bell race he wrote about. And
can talk about that.
I may do that this year. I don't know for sure.
Should that be a Run Talk race? Should that be one we could all try to meet for?
Honestly, if
Run Talk. Taco Tico race.
Yeah, Taco Tico, yes.
You guys,
the refried beans.
Taco Tico, it's right here.
Okay, that's not even fair.
So the Taco Bell race is you have to go to 10 Taco Bells during this 50K, and you have to eat something from each one.
And aren't there certain things that like don't count? Like there's Slurpees?
No, no, but you can't repeat.
Okay.
You can't repeat a menu item. So if you want to just maybe eat a cinnamon sticks, you know, an order of cinnamon sticks for one.
Hello?
Yeah, a churro. You also have to finish the menu item, and you have to eat a burrito supreme.
Lindsay said, "I'd rather jump off a cliff."
Yeah, I know, but I would, I would love for anybody in Run Talk to come out and do that with me.
Hey, do a post about it, Dan.
I'd love to watch you do it.
Okay.
I would consider it. Do a post.
I'd love to watch you. You know, what's interesting about that race is, you know, and that's a tough race. There was a woman from Leadville who did the Leadville 100 and just stormed through it. She was a badass. She was killing this race.
I'll bring the toilet paper.
And one of the rules is that you can't throw up. So if you puke, you're done.
What?
And she puked. So she didn't finish. And I think it's because she ran too fast.
Yeah.
That so would like make you sense. Have to let your food settle, right? And digest before you get to the next Taco Bell, or else you're not going to make it.
Yeah, you're right. It absolutely is almost more of an – it really is almost more of an eating challenge.
Yeah, it is.
Than it is a running. I would argue that eating and tolerating that amount of grease and sodium is really – and what is the altitude that it's at? Because you said it's Colorado, right?
Yeah, so it's 5,000 feet.
Okay, so for some of us flatlanders, that might have an effect as well.
That would be hard. I agree.
Rob said his stomach is in no way shape for that, something to that effect. And I said, yeah, mine either.
And meanwhile, Ryan Reynolds has spent years abusing his stomach, so he feels confident he's built for it.
Same, Ryan.
Let's do it.
I'm with you. Yeah, let's do it, Ryan. Come on out. It's at the end of September.
What would you eat first?
Good question. I don't know.
Like probably something on the milder side.
Chicken soft taco?
I'd stick with chicken for quite some time before I switch to beef.
Crab Trap Supreme. Sticks. I love it. You're bold.
Burrito Supreme?
You have to eat a Burrito Supreme as part of the challenge.
Can that be the last thing you eat, though?
Yeah, it can.
This is not meant for somebody that's high maintenance like me. I can barely go use a porta potty, let alone.
And you also have to eat a Crunchwrap or a Nachos Bo Grande. So you have to eat two of those three menu items.
I imagine my Jeff's in there going, oh my gosh, this sounds like fun, except for I'm not running.
Yeah, well.
You don't have to run fast. He's got plenty of time to train.
Not at all. There were a lot of people who I think they give you 11 or 12 hours to do it. So
can you run a little and then I guess you could walk?
Absolutely. Right. Yep. And by the way, you can do that in any ultra marathon.
And eat Taco Bell.
You can walk in any race distance also. I'll throw that out there.
Mm-hmm. Rob says, there's no rules against it. Saturday that would be.
Yeah. Oh, you know what, Jeff? I love the Enchirito too. That was my favorite menu item there and they don't have it anymore.
I just like their chalupa.
Okay.
Well, you could chicken chalupa, no sour cream, just lettuce, tomato, add a little salsa, and I'm good. It's for life.
Yeah.
I'm super simple though.
Like, yeah.
I'd probably do just fine.
Yeah.
I say we work on creating this as a potential Run Talk meetup race.
Oh, I agree.
Actually serious.
My telehealth iBeam Health just popped in to say that I look nice tonight, so I really appreciate that. Thank you very much.
You are beautiful.
You guys had to know that, right?
She didn't say I look good.
We're talking about the
Taco Bell
Ultra Run.
I know. The hell.
Oh, well, you guys both look amazing too. It's probably just because she knows. They know. Yeah.
Yeah. It's okay. I've got thick skin. At least I'm not being called condescending.
You're not looking down on anyone tonight.
The Waffle House Ultra. I would imagine you could do, maybe you could do it in your hometown too. And you could we could FaceTime this.
Oh, IBM Health throws out the Cantina Chicken Burrito. But can you run after that? Cantina sounds spicy. No?
Right. There's like a separate challenge where you can do the Diablo challenge where you have to eat a Diablo hot sauce packet.
Is there a different medal for that?
Yes.
Oh, and Lauren and Dan also look wonderful. There
okay,
you go.
Thank you. We appreciate that. Thank you very much.
So realistically, let's talk about what you are doing for runs this year, Dan, because Lauren and I have both established that I have a list of things I need to sign up for that I just keep moving past because I'm like, oh, crap, and haven't signed up.
So do you mean just races I'm doing or?
Yeah.
He's got the 200 milers.
The 200 milers, we're going to go down to Atlanta in a few weeks and run a 50K. One thing I like to do for my ultras is actually use races to train for them. So I'll do an actual 50K race, you know, to train for a bigger race. That's something that, yeah.
Sorry, that was a question I meant to ask you and I don't want to forget to ask, but how does somebody go about training for an ultra? Because, you know, I listen to you guys talk about the runs, but like, is it a set plan like you do with like a marathon or any other type of race? Like what are you doing to train for an ultra, and how do you peak? What do you peak at before you start tapering, or do you do that?
I just finished a story on this tonight that's going to run in a week or two and Run Outside. So you know how everybody says you should run 20 miles before a marathon, right? There really is no set distance for an ultra. Like you could run 20 miles for a 50K and you could probably finish. So if you did a marathon plan for a 50K, it probably would work fine.
Okay.
But here's the funny thing. So when I did my first 50 miler, I remember actually talking to somebody who had, he did the Leadville 100 once, and I went into this coffee store that he owned, and I said, "Hey, I just did a marathon this weekend by myself on a trail." And he said, "What distance are you doing?" And I said, "I'm doing a 50 miler." And he said, "You're good. That's your longest run." And I said, that doesn't make any sense. You know, like, what are you talking about? But he said, so there is no set distance, but I think if you do half the race distance in any ultra, you'd be okay.
And Dan, don't you think that a big part of it too is training, trying to simulate what the race conditions will be as best as possible? So like, yes, for someone like me that lives in the flat Midwest, if I'm training for an ultra in the mountains, I can't train at altitude per se, but like I can try to do as much hill and mm-hmm. strengthening work to get myself prepared for the climbs that I, you know, and I've heard that people have struggled with the Chicago Marathon, for example, that have trained in the hill, like in hilly areas and mountains, because Chicago is pancake flat the entire time. So I think that that's also a big consideration, is trying to mimic what you can in your training of what the race will be.
You know, and that includes fueling.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because you're on your feet for 12 or more hours. In a 100 miler, you might be on your feet for 25 to 30 hours. And so you need to train your stomach. We talked about training our stomach for the Taco Bell, but you need to train your stomach to take in 200 to 300 calories an hour. And, you know,
don't feel like eating. Like that's when you still have to, even if you really feel nauseated.
And there's going to be times in the race that you don't feel like eating, like you just won't, but you have to keep it up. And I think so when you talk about ultra training, as opposed to maybe running in a marathon, you have to learn how to train your system to fuel, and you have to run the terrain that you're going to run in a race. I think those are the two things that might be different than marathon training. But I like to go by hours as opposed to maybe distance in an ultra. So I think time on feet is more important necessarily than maybe the actual miles that you might run. So I, you know, like if you say, what's a 50K going to take me, you know, 6 or 7 hours, I'll try to my longest run or maybe a 50 miler to go out and be on my feet for 6 or 7 hours and feel the entire time.
Talk a little bit about fueling also. Both of you talk about this, because fueling for the runs that I have done has been pretty, I mean, with the exception of Pop-Tarts, you know, talked about that last week. That's such a triggering thing for some people, Pop-Tarts. But talk about what it looks like for an ultra. Like, I know Lindsay does just normal food. Like, she eats whatever. Like, is that what everybody does or what?
Yeah. That's what most people do. Because I don't know about you guys, but those gels will wreck my stomach after a couple of them, you know? And I think they're great, but I will only take 2 or 3 for even a 24-hour race. So I like to do potato chips, maybe peanut butter and jelly, What's worked for you, Lauren? Like candy works really well for me. Coke. Yeah.
Also, depending on the temperature, and especially the longer you run, you are more susceptible to feeling cold. And so a lot of ultras will offer hot foods as well, like grilled cheese,
Great
or like
point.
a really
Ramen.
popular item is going to be like broth-based soups and
Yeah.
things. And that sounds so weird to somebody that runs marathons, but when you're out there, it's like so you crave it because you're needing the sodium, you want the salt, but also you want the warmth. So especially night running is something I was really gravitating towards, was like warm food. A lot of common things will be things like, I mean, you still want very easy to digest carbs, but you can also introduce protein and fat. You really should. But a lot of common things will be things like tortilla wraps with maybe like, actually, some offer like refried beans inside, which seems kind of strange, but when you're out there running, it's basically whatever you can tolerate. And so if you are planning to run an ultra, my recommendation is to find out what foods will be served on the route, because those are some of the foods maybe you should try practicing with.
Excellent. Yep.
That
Excellent
would be my best
suggestion.
advice. It's, unless you have a crew that's going to be able to prepare you whatever you want, you're basically at the mercy of either bringing your own snacks or having what the course offers. So those would be my tips. And you never know. Like, there's a good, it's like the ultra setup is like a buffet spread of really random things, and it's really fun. You like look forward to aid stations. So I was craving like peanut M&Ms, and they had them. And so it's just like, exactly. And they're like in little cups. Oh, it's like you're at a parade, except you just get to like freely pick whatever you want. It's awesome.
Now, they, what was I gonna say?
I want to do it for the snacks.
And
No, yeah. And the support.
the snacks are a huge part of ultra marathons. Like really, like so there was one, they say nothing new on race day, but I don't really follow that with ultras because sometimes your body craves something. Like there was one race I just did last year, the Antelope Canyon, and I ran down and all of a sudden I just smelled this wonderful Mexican food. And the guy's like, "K fresh quesadillas right off the grill," and I'm like, "Give me
Oh.
one. Give me one of those fucking quesadillas, man. I haven't eaten those during training, but I didn't care. Like those were so good. So you can get some pretty damn good food."
It's so funny because I would never have imagined, and I imagine most people do not think that runners eat like that while they're running. You know, people just assume that because you run, every habit in your life is like, I eat clean and I do all the perfect things, and I, you know, like, no, that's not the case. I don't always love that stereotype, because it's like, you don't, I mean, that thing kind of that bothered me for a long time, because I was guilty of it too. Like, you look at people who run and you're like, oh, well, they're so tiny because they never eat anything. Really, it's like, you got to eat a lot. You have to eat a lot in order to be able to do this.
In fact,
Yeah.
you want the fattier foods during an ultra. That's I don't drink soda, but I drink a lot of soda during an ultra because you want that sugar and calories and
There's something about the carbonation too that I found very appealing.
Okay. Yep, it
And I
helps with
normally
this.
don't drink soda or pop ever, or Coke, as Lindsay would say.
Yep, it's about getting those calories in, and so you're not going to be eating broccoli.
No.
Well, it's just funny, you know, because I mean, being on a weight loss journey, also along with the fact that like I decided to pick up running, it was a really hard like headbutt when I was training for the marathon to be like, hey, you got to eat things that you don't necessarily normally eat simply because to be able to have the carbs. Where I was for the longest time, that wasn't how I operated. And I can't wait until we have Doug on here so we can talk about his diet with, you know, the things that he struggles with diabetes. But it's just like that all in itself, it's just interesting to me because it completely changes the way I think about things. And I almost had a mindset of, okay, well, I can pretty much have whatever I want while I'm training for a marathon. Because I had not lived that way for such a long time, like for the first 3 years prior to. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, now I'm, that was hard for my brain to wrap around. But like
I'm
I
sure.
had to, or I wasn't making it through. Like I couldn't run that kind of mileage and not eat food. Like you just can't do it. Anyway, that
There's
was my
something, it is true that if you're underfueling, especially chronically underfueling, you may lose weight, you may not, you may even maintain your weight, but you are so much more accident prone, but you're so much more injury prone. And again, oftentimes people will blame it on high mileage, that like, you know, but it could truly just be that you are underfueled.
Yeah. It's when people say they're exhausted in an ultra, I usually ask them, what have they had to eat? Fatigue doesn't have as much to do with the miles as you might think. It's more about fueling. So if you're not fueled up, you're going to be more tired than somebody who has run this race twice as fast as you, but is eating a lot.
Yeah.
So Stick says, I had the greasiest New York style pizza in my ultra. It was so good. I believe it.
I bet. Well, I would agree with everything about that being good, except for New York style pizza. I'm not a huge fan. I am a huge fan of Casey's style pizza, though.
Oh, right. The breakfast pizza?
I bet that Sam's never had it.
Oh, he will.
He will. He will. Is New York the really thin kind?
It's like crunchy on the bottom.
Oh, okay. I love that.
I like it too.
Yeah.
They make it ahead of time in New York. A lot of the places have it, and then they just like fire it back up in the oven for you. So I'm like, but that's right. Maybe I was just going to the wrong pizza places. I'm sure people are going to
get that.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it. I can't help it. I like Casey's pizza.
Hey, there is nothing wrong with Casey's pizza.
No, not at all.
No, but our Casey's has been kind of sucking it up lately. So.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's only how many in Fort Dodge? Like 4 or 5?
Call a different one. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, go to a different one.
Well, my favorite Casey's pizza, I think, is I don't know if I'm going to say breakfast pizza. I honestly think it's the cheese pizza.
There is nothing wrong with a good cheese pizza. Simple, consistent.
Yeah.
That was the first time I'd had breakfast pizza. It was great.
Was Casey's? Yeah. And now you've had.
It was last year during the Iowa Relay.
Should we talk about that a little bit? Like, are you so excited to spend like a stretch of days with yours truly? Like, I don't know if like Dan's like, I'm gonna need a serious break from her.
I just hope we don't have a big fight. Because like in the middle of the night, you know, like we're gonna be so tired and fried that I'm gonna say something that you take the wrong way.
Me?
Yeah.
It's okay, Jen and I. I'll keep Jen under control.
No, you know.
You do the same of me, Jen.
This many acts about like I'm along for a good time. The only thing that I'm worried about myself is my own personal like my own contribution to the team. That's kind of what I think about. Like I just get nervous.
Oh,
like,
you'll be great.
What if I can't go the mileage? What if I can't do that? Like, but those are the thoughts in my head right now. So,
Jen, just do your best, and that's all we ask.
Yep.
You know, and that's why I'm just really glad that there's a bunch of like badass beasts on this team that can run really long distances in case I'm like, oh crap, sorry, I can't go as far as you.
Oh, we have somebody. Okay. We have somebody that just shared that they're doing their first Relay Iowa this year. Any tips and tricks? Oh my gosh. Do we have tips and tricks? Keep your hands very clean. Do not get norovirus. That's tip number one.
Don't throw up in the car.
Yeah.
Make sure you open the door in time.
Don't invite your friends and family if you're sick.
Oh, no, but seriously, you're going to be in for the best time. And you will have to coordinate with us at some point so we can all meet up.
Yeah. I just don't burn your candle out. You know, take it easy. Like, you're going to be really excited to run that first relay because all your teammates will have done it. So, you know, take it slow and easy and just treat it literally like a marathon instead of like a 4 mile chunk where you're just flying.
Unless you're me, because Dan was like, she's going too fast. She's going too fast.
Yeah, she's going too. Yeah, exactly. Nope.
What are your guys' thoughts on this? I think that that's a really good question. And again, not that everybody's doing Relay Iowa, but I know there'll be a lot of run talkers running it.
Doing relays, right.
Or relays in general. I think as it gets a little closer, what if we did a group of like 6 or 8 of us and did a full chat solely devoted to talking about relay races? Or
that'd be runs, fun.
I shouldn't even say race.
I would love that. I think that'd be so awesome.
Okay. Because I think that there are a lot of logistical things that we could talk about that would help immensely, especially when it comes to like what are things you need to have in your vehicle versus what are things you probably don't, and you know, yeah, things like, more related.
Yeah.
And I think that it would just be a fun thing because everyone has a unique perspective from last year, mm-hmm. especially last year.
Yeah.
But I think it would be, I think it would be really helpful.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Okay, so if you are, if you're here now and you happen to be running any sort of relay and you're interested in joining us for a future run talk live session, will you please reach out to Lauren or myself and let us know, or Lindsay, and just let us know, you know, that you are doing that, and we will let you know when we want to try to get that going, because I think sooner rather than later, then we can all kind of get some more info on what the right idea is. And yes, you think, Lauren?
I do.
Mac wants to do
Happy
it.
Todd?
Yeah.
Dan, I have a question for you. As you were talking earlier, I just remembered this. You had mentioned several of your articles. Do you have a link tree in your bio that has like a quick link page to reference some of the articles you've written or your book?
I do. Thank you very much. I'm horrible at promoting myself. Yeah, I do have a link tree in my RunTalk bio. If anybody wants to check those out, I would love it if you did.
Oh, we will promote you also. How do people get the newsletter?
My website is adventuresinengland.com. So it's basically my tag. It's my TikTok, but it's .com. So yeah, go to the website. You can find out a lot of information there. I do coach, but my newsletter comes out once a month and it's free, and it has a lot of running tips and some philosophical things that I hope you guys can think about during running. It's not just pure running advice.
I can talk to that. I am receiving his monthly email, and in December he talked a lot about how the holidays in December is often a time to unwind and relax, and that it's okay to approach your running that way as well, and the importance of a season of rest. And I really, really needed that at that point in time. So I personally have benefited greatly from Dan's, not only just the running advice and like the technical pieces that I've learned from him, but especially the philosophicals. So that's my two cents.
I'm right there with you. Like, I mean, the fact that my running advice came directly from you, I mean, I needed it. I needed somebody to just say, you know, here's the truth. You need to be able to slow down and not run as many miles right now. Otherwise you're not going to get there. Which is kind of crazy to think about, but it's what I needed.
And I'll be the first to admit that sometimes Dan and I don't always agree on things, and that's totally fine. But I think that sometimes you need a friend in your life that is sometimes going to tell you things you maybe don't want to hear, but maybe you need to hear it. So I will also, I appreciate and am grateful for that aspect of Dan as well, is that he truly has your best interests in mind when he's giving advice.
I think it's good to have a contrarian friend, isn't it? Like I have that too. There's always one guy that I've been friends with for 25 years. He's a Republican, and he always makes me think about certain things that maybe I wouldn't have otherwise.
I think it's important to have just people in general, like that will spark the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. Yep.
Fortunately, we agree on like 99% of things. So
yeah,
it's really funny when you don't. I mean, at least we can all kind of be like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
Can't surround yourself with yes people, Ashley said.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah, she's right. That's such a good way to put that, Ashley.
That is a good way.
So true.
Spent too much time doing things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you guys. We have definitely gone over our hour-long run talk. So is there anything that we have to add or I mean, I feel like this was full of information.
I agree.
And I'm struggling to like put all the pieces together right now, but I am going to have this on YouTube, and we are working on pulling the audio for a possible podcast so that we can continue to have access to all the things that we talk about on this little chat, because I think that at the end of the day, it's useful for every single person that, you know, runs or that wants to get something out of it. And I know there's several people who would like to be here, but their time zones don't allow. And this is just kind of what works out well for all of us, but that's in the making, and we will post, we will make sure that you're posted on that, keep you posted on it.
And I'm going to ask the people on right now, if anybody has interest in someday being featured as a guest, like Dan was tonight, please send myself or Jen or Lynn's a message, because we want to bring all of the Run Talk faces on as time goes on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we'll probably feature Dan again in the future if he's willing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I it was really great having to be on here. I really appreciate you guys having me.
Well, we're glad that you said yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Lauren will cut your check when we get sign off.
Okay, great. That'd be good. Okay. All right.
How much does it pay though?
It's a rubber
check. It's very lucrative, let me tell you.
I know. I'm rich now. I don't have to work for 2 months after this.
Yeah, right. Okay. All right.
I think Lindsay's paying him for filling in.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Bye, guys.